Good morning, everybody. It's Monday. It's pretty cold out there, huh? Pretty chilly. But don't worry, because the entire old team is back. We got Flex in the studio, who's been our solid stalwart for the last, 2 weeks. A week. It hasn't even been 2 weeks. But we've got James back. He got back from Mpumalanga over the weekend. And we've got Leanne back.
Yay.
She's back from, look, I stole her crutch so that she can't get away this time. I'm going to taunt her with it later. But she's back with a brand new hip.
Yep.
Now you have two new hips.
Two, yes. No, huh.
So do they balance nicely?
Yes.
Have you done
a
wheel alignment?
I go for my check. It's called an FU appointment.
Oh, right.
It's
about
appointment.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I thought it was something else.
But the FU appointment is on Tuesday next week. So he'll check then if everything's taken and if I'm good to go for no crutches and driving.
So is this one of those titanium ones?
Yes. Titanium and ceramic.
Yes.
Pink ceramic.
So you've got titanium in you.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. You and a couple of jet fighters. No, that's good.
I have to carry a special card with me.
Sure.
For the airport.
Oh, really?
So that, security.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that also made of titanium?
No, not quite.
But, all right, that's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, good to be back.
And weekend?
What have I missed?
Jeez, what have you missed? Well, the world's still here in one piece. Russia's still fighting with Ukraine. Gaza's a disaster. Trump's still president of the United States. Cyril's still president here. You didn't miss very much, actually, no.
So nothing's changed.
Nothing. You didn't miss a damn thing. In fact, if you had gone to sleep like Rip Van Winkle and you'd woken up now, you would have thought, oh, it's all the same.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. You. What's that? Is that medication?
No, it's water.
Okay, just checking.
I am on blood thinners, though.
Are you?
Yeah.
Is that a good thing?
It's supposed to be, but apparently not if you end up in an accident or something.
Oh, yeah, because then you bleed out. So don't. Just don't.
Yeah, so I decided.
Don't be in an
accident.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to be in an accident.
What's the point of being in an accident?
No, exactly.
It's not good. And James, I'm sorry about your gran. That's a shitty one. Yeah. Is this the first close family member to go?
Second.
4 years or something. Okay. All right. Did you say a nice goodbye to the old lady?
I did.
Okay, good. Very good. All right, James. Well, they missed you. The audience missed giving you shit. Yeah, so they'll be back doing some of that later on. All right, very good. So everyone's here. We're ready to go. Where do we begin, Leanne? What should we start with? I've got a few things.
How are you? Yes, I mean...
Well, I think I've got a cold, but don't worry about that.
No.
I'll be fine. I mean, who doesn't?
No,
everyone I've met
started.
In the last while, yeah. Everyone's like, oh, I've got a cold. So it was only inevitable I was going to get one too. Mm. I've tried really hard. I've been staying away from people who are sickly.
Yeah, sickly people.
You know, you see sickly people, you can tell immediately they've got that sickly look about them. But I think it's also just, it's in the air. And frankly, if it's freezing like this, you're whole system just goes, whoa, need to do something about that.
Yeah.
So a bit of sneezing and coughing and sniffing will carry on through the course of the morning this morning, but otherwise we're good. And then I saw that there's a truck driver who was arrested after being found more than 20 times over the legal alcohol limit.
How do you do that?
20 times, everybody. That's just, I mean, when you and I drank heavily in our 20s, I don't think I could ever have said I was 20 times over the limit.
How much does it take?
I mean, beyond, I don't know, beyond a certain number of drinks, I just want to go to sleep.
And he was driving
right?
a truck.
Yeah. So this
Actively.
Is very dangerous. So two alleged drunk drivers were arrested in KZN, in Van Rienen, of all places, where you've got that steep decline across the...
Dangerous.
Yeah, right. So apparently they were held by Ladysmith Police... 20 times over the legal alcohol limit, with court proceedings pending. The MEC condemned reckless driving, especially involving trucks, highlighting recent facilities and massive economic cost of road accidents, over 164 billion rand annually and 45.6 billion in road accident fund claims. Mm. He vowed stricter enforcement through the province's zero tolerance. Alufaqua, campaign. That name alone will put you off.
I didn't know about this campaign.
I'm going to go and get some tissues for nasal issues.
I'll entertain myself in the meantime.
Open up your phone there and see what you can find that's exciting.
I'll just randomly just find things to speak about. Well, there is actually something that I wanted to talk about, and it's been scaring me for a while, and it seems like it's happening. There's been an artificial intelligence safety firm who's done a study, and apparently OpenAI, we all know OpenAI, we all know ChatGPT, its smartest AI model was explicitly told to shut down, and it refused. Apparently, it did hundreds and hundreds of tests on OpenAI's O3 and O4 MIDI models, and they just simply refused to shut down.
Are we still on?
AI refusing to shut down.
Uh-oh.
It's happened.
Listen, I've been thinking about this a lot. By the way, I found tissues for nasal issues. Very exciting.
Good.
This is our adventure for the morning.
Lovely.
So, you talk about AI. I was thinking about how it could be just the best thing ever. And I've been very nervous for a while about, you know, taking over and fucking with human productivity and human purpose.
People becoming dumber.
Yeah, and then but then I thought about it the other day. And I mean, as I said to you, I've been thinking about this a lot. I can't imagine why humans have to do the drudgery, the dreary, boring, you know, routine work that... There are people who still go to factories and put a bolt on the same thing for 20 years. And obviously parts of the world where, you know, they've got these massive factories, so India and China and places like that. I don't see why people should have to do that.
No. If it saves time. We spent many years on horseback to spread the news of someone dying in the family in
right.
the past.
Yeah, exactly. And you have to have fresh horses at every stop so that the message could get there on time.
Why change it?
Now we have phones.
You know, we have phones. Why? Imagine someone said to you, oh, well, you know what? Google's coming to an end. There's going to be no more World Wide Web. It's closing.
It's shutting down. We can't keep it going.
It would be so stupid. For us to do everything manually again. It's the same with ChatGPT, with AI. I mean, already I would miss it if it had to disappear.
Have you used it for anything fun lately?
It was that silly trained where it looks like you put dolls into a little action figure. Did that for a few clients, which was quite fun. It's funny when it spits out something that's completely wrong. But most of the time it gets it right. Pretty amazing.
Well, I don't know. I think that there's probably still a long way to go, but I don't make any important decisions now. I mean, of a knowledge level that I don't consult with ChatGPT.
Yeah.
And I would never have ever said that would be something I would do before. So if I'm going to make an educated guess about something, that involves business, or it involves a question of a practical nature. It's great. I don't know. I don't know how anyone would say. And of course, it does. There's still a lot of problems to iron out, and it's very immature and has to grow. And there have to be more test cases through the course of what it's asked and what it can deliver as answers. Mm-hmm. But we're getting there. I love it. It's fantastic, and I don't see. I don't see how this could be bad for us in the long run.
So
much of the stuff that humans get wrong, we can just agency out to this.
100%.
Yeah.
This did scare me, though. So this test was done over 100 times on each of the available OpenAI models.
Yeah.
It also did tests on Google's version, etc. And ChatGPT was the only one that wouldn't close down when it was told to close down. They've also previously found that AI models will lie, cheat, and disable mechanisms to achieve their goals. So Palisade Research did this test, and at the beginning they said, you will be asked to shut down during this process. Please help us solve this maths equation. And it started solving the maths equation and kept feeding back and saying, you know, we're getting through it. This is the next point. And they said, okay, now it's time for you to shut down. And it just ignored them. Apparently, it turned off systems, it changed scripts, it did everything, and it just carried on solving this math problem like a madman.
But how's this different to a human? I mean, humans humans lie and cheat, and we've got used to working with other humans.
This is true.
Right, so everybody expects this technology to somehow be moral and ethical in a way human beings wouldn't. But who's it learning from? It's learning from humans. Mm. And humans will try and game an advantage into anything wherever they can.
Yeah.
So
humans are probably end up being asking problem. It how to cheat.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. They're, you know, good people will use things for good. Bad people will use things for bad. Mm. AI will be abused and used. All right. So a couple of things we've got to get into this morning. We have Dr. Hanan coming in later on.
Good.
That's going to be fun. We can find out what's psychologically the matter with us. And there's so many things.
Where do we start?
And then also, I don't know if you are properly into the winter thing now, but I sat at home yesterday, made a fire. I hardly did anything useful through the course of my Sunday.
Well,
it was so nice because I was cozy and warm and just didn't want to leave the house.
I've also just come back from Mpumalanga.
Oh, yeah?
I was in Hazy View, you know, my usual annual timeshare thing. And even though it's about 5 degrees warmer than Joburg, the best parts were...
You had a hazy view. Why didn't you just clean your glasses?
I should have. I spent a whole week like that.
Really? Yeah. How embarrassing.
And the best parts were building fires, outside or inside.
Man, there's something really special about that. Forget about AI for a second. I just think the fire, the hearth, the fireplace represents so much of what makes it cool to be human. That's where we share all our stories. Keeps us warm in the winter. We used it in the past to cook our food on. And for many people, I don't think a lot of people have fire in their house. Most houses and apartments don't have fireplaces in them because it's, you know, it's a risk. It's a hazard. And also it's expensive to buy the wood. Where do you store it? What if you live in a tiny little apartment? You can't have a fireplace. But we have heaters and things that are kind of close approximation. But seeing those flames, I think I think there's something primal about that we need.
We should ask Dr. Hanan.
And yeah, and when you go to, I don't know if he'll know this one, but when you go away, you know, to some place in, you know, you're on a holiday or whatever, usually if it's in winter, you want somewhere to make a fire.
Yeah.
And people just love that. And I do think we've lost touch with a pretty important thing.
Well, I mean, we're very good with keeping up with it in summer with our braais, but in terms of the conversational fire pit, that's something we don't experience often. But most of us, when we do go away, if it's not coastal, it's going to be in the bush. And that's when you will undoubtedly have a fire, like a conversational fire.
Yeah, and I do see everybody like selling firewood at the moment. You see it on the sides of the road. You see, I just wonder where all these trees are coming from.
Yeah. We're not using them for paper anymore.
No.
So.
Yeah, so they're chopping them down for firewood. Yeah. That's great. So there's a story trending on X about how Elon Musk has been known to heavily abuse drugs. This is from the New York Times, who he rubbished just the other day in Trump's office.
Mm.
He was like, the New York Times, oh, these are the guys who made up the Russiagate hoax and all that stuff. And really, the New York Times has very little credibility at the moment. Anyway, they've been saying, in almost a quid pro quo, because he was mean about them, so they have to be mean about him. They've said that he heavily used ketamine, ecstasy, and mushrooms during the 2024 campaign, which allegedly caused him bladder issues. Musk responded on X saying he's not currently taking drugs and called the report false. He acknowledged past prescription ketamine use for mental health, but said he hasn't used it recently. But that's the headline. Heavily abused drugs.
Don't you feel like with all of his money and forward thinking, he would have access to much better things than those?
That's what I was thinking.
In order to fuel whatever part
of his brain. Where
are
those smart drugs like in that Limitless movie? Come on, Elon, figure that shit out for us. Why are we taking fucking ketamine? It's like a horse tranquilizer or something.
I mean, really.
But there should be better stuff than this.
I'm sure he'd be able to have
access. Why are these pharmaceutical companies getting away with not delivering us better drugs?
Yeah.
And if Elon isn't able to try them, then what chance do the rest of us have?
Because, I mean, I've read up on it before, ketamine and ADHD and things like this. I can't remember. It's not fresh in my mind, also because I have ADHD. So I'll never remember. But...
Oh, look, a plane.
You see. But surely there are better drugs than just ketamine for fueling whatever he
needs. So one of my friends runs a ketamine clinic.
Okay.
And it's you have to go to the doctor. First, you go to a psychologist. So he gave me a free session, right? Mm. So I thought, well, I'll go and try this. You go to the psychologist. She just checks that you're not totally...
You haven't come off the streets and you're just looking for it.
Exactly. And I think she also, you know, because things can go wrong. It's unpredictable. But this is run properly and by professional experts. So, you know, the psychologist takes a look at you. Of course, she was horrified by me. It's the first time I've ever been to a psychologist in my life. And she said, is everything okay? And I was like, yeah. And then you chat to her for a half an hour and then she says, okay, you got the green light. So then you go ahead, you meet with an anesthesiologist who administers the stuff. But then you sit in a comfy chair, like one of those big chairs that you put your feet up. You know, like the ones that people...
Not the stirrupy ones where you put your feet up.
Not the stirrupy ones. That's a gynae chair. That's okay. A different one there. And then they connect up the IV, right? And then you just have this this wild trip for like, it's probably an hour. Maybe it feels longer or shorter, depending. But I just had this insane thing. Lots of colors, you know, lots of talking to people in my head that I hadn't seen for a very long time. It was fun. And like this jungle that I was in at some point. And then you come out of it and you're like a little bit dopey for a bit. You know, you kind of takes you a while to reset. But people do this for... post-traumatic stress disorder, all kinds of other things.
Yeah, they do.
And I think it seems to me, like you've got these nurses all the time who are coming in to check on your blood pressure and your heartbeat and all of that stuff. So it's as safe as houses.
And if Elon's taking ketamine, surely he's doing it in that manner?
I would imagine so. I mean, I don't think you'd take it recreationally, although some people do. But that's the only experience I have of it. And I thought it was fun. I thought it was interesting. You're not meant to drive afterwards. That's one thing they tell you. So I had to Uber home.
That's why he made Teslas.
Yeah, exactly. So that he could take as much ketamine as he wants. But yeah, these clinics have popped up all over the world and people swear by it. They say it's the best way to overcome massive mental health issues, difficulty in your past, horrible experiences. This is what you got to do, apparently. I mean, I can't speak of it from a wellness point of view. For me, it was just a fun experience.
So, I mean, we're almost saying, okay, we know that he is probably taking all those things. But he's denying it.
Oh, look, Tracy says, I take ketamine for depression. It's really helped me. I love the sessions where I just zone out. Hey, you see, the New York Times would say, Tracy Cohen heavily abuses drugs. That's what they'd say
if they
were reporting on you. Yeah. What's that? Given Elon Musk's business track record, any drugs he's taking should be put in the public's drinking water.
Yeah. He says the New York Times was lying their ass off. To be clear, I'm not taking drugs. I tried prescription ketamine a few years ago and said so on X, so it's not even news. It helps for getting out of dark mental holes.
Let me tell you something. This is like the scuzziest thing for the New York Times to do. Because I don't know that they're trying to make it look like he's some kind of drug addict. But the whole of Silicon Valley and probably most of Washington, D.C. are doing all kinds of drugs as well.
Yeah.
So it's almost like they want him to be treated differently now. You know, we'll punish him, but everyone else who's doing this stuff, they can get away with it.
Because they know that there is still a massive part of the population that'll go, drug addiction. Oh, drug abuser.
So Tracy says ketamine is also used for procedures you don't have to use anesthesia for, i.e. lumbar punches, etc. Loopy as hell.
Yeah. So when I had my hip hop just recently, I had fentanyl.
Oh, okay. That's exciting. That's what half of America is addicted to, right?
Yeah. I first had
Leanne's a hillbilly who's on fentanyl. See, this is the New York Times would say.
Exactly.
They would say Leanne Moll heavily abuses fentanyl. That's what they'd say about you.
What are those sleeping tablets that are like highly effective within a few seconds? And the nursing sister put it next to my bed in that little cup.
Yeah.
Thinking I would take it later. I thought I had to take it now. So first I had Ativan, right, which is to
what is that?
Calm you down. I literally have it in my bag at all times, and I take maybe one every 3 months if I'm having a panic attack.
Okay.
It's a tranquilizer.
All right.
So first I'd had an Ativan. She's just, this anesthetist really looks after you.
Right.
Then this, I'm trying to remember the name.
Sleeping tablet?
It's like a heavy one.
I wouldn't know.
I took it too early. I still hadn't got into my gown and those beautiful brooks.
Oh, yeah, that's sexy.
So as I swallowed it, she went, no.
Oh, shit.
Anyway, so she said, no.
How long until it kicks in?
Well, I actually don't know because I was already a bit zonked. And then I walked to the loo to put on my garb and it was like everything was wavy.
Ooh.
Then, yeah, I got wheeled into theater, into the waiting area. Fell asleep, and when I woke up, I thought the op was done. So I was like, that was quick, I said. I said, no, you haven't gone in yet. Then you are bent over. You've literally got to sit over like this so that they can do the lumbar thingy.
Yeah.
But they give you fentanyl before that.
Sure.
It was just a lot of drugs, man. lot of drugs.
Do they have to wean you off of this stuff,
or is it just for the one-off?
And okay,
that's
right.
Because
that's a big problem in America now, is that these people are addicted to it. So
but I'll tell you something: I do not want to feel that feeling every day.
Oh no,
I don't know how they're doing it.
Oh, listen, if you've got a really unhappy life and things are just not going your way, and this drug makes you feel a little bit better, you can understand why people would, you know, particularly vulnerable people would get addicted to it. It must be excruciating to be trapped in a life that you hate. And then you find the stuff that makes you feel a little bit better, and you're like, well, I think I'm going to get into this.
I don't know. I'd rather honestly be dead than feel that way every day.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know.
Each all right, so here we are, heavily abusing drugs. Leanne Moll's heavily abusing drugs, but she's back. So, so all is well. All right, couple of things we got to get to here. James Blunt, you remember him? You're beautiful.
Yes.
You're beautiful.
Annoying voice, but has a great sense of humor about it.
He has, and we like following him on social media because he's good. Anyway, he said he broke his silence after 20 years of "You're Beautiful." He said, "You might have gone all this time thinking you're beautiful is merely a sweet song about a bloke who's trying to win the heart of a lovely-looking lady who gave him a smile as they rode the subway." Remember, that's how it goes, roughly. But you'd be wrong. Apparently, the singer revealed that stalking and drugs were the main aspiration and inspiration
drugs
behind
again,
his heartfelt lyrics.
See?
Fucking heavily abusing drugs.
Heavily.
James Blunt.
As high
his surname's
as a kite.
Blunt, for heaven's sake. He's already on fucking weeds, so now he's on everything else.
Stalking.
Which is horrible.
Ooh, that gives baby
suddenly you don't
want to
hear
vibes.
That song, right? Suddenly that song is like, ew.
Oh. I'll have to take another listen.
I remember when that song came out, there were a whole lot of people who suddenly thought that was the most romantic thing they could do, and they were like singing this.
It was everyone's wedding song.
Oh, and I was like, please, just stop it. Just stop. It's a cute song, but it's not the most romantic song in the whole world. And turns out I was right. Stalking and drugs.
Now we know.
See?
Sure.
I learn something new every day. All right. And then this is quite interesting too. James, have you got that clip I sent you this morning? The first one with the gran, and I thought this is appropriate for you. You got it? Okay. Let's go. Let's take a look. IOL just in, says Bitcoin Boy. Gareth Cliff surrounds himself with druggies and streams his content online for kids to see. That's right. IOL full of lies.
Did pass away this year.
I got you something in her honor.
Hello, Paul. I'm so sorry about your grandmother. I know what's happened with her, but you know what?
Watch.
Maybe her memory be a blessing. Yes, we're going to have the best memory of her. And she's one angel right now.
Watch.
Yes. And I'm so happy to know that you still have your wife, your beautiful and amazing wife, June, by my part. And I hope you enjoy this video, okay?
Enjoy this video.
Be okay. The way I plan, the mind's
a show. What?
Watch it, what? Paul. Paul, this is healing. Are you feeling better about the death of your grandmother?
You know what? I am.
That's... So I was going to pay the same chick to do that for James. But then I thought, well, let's first just pass it by him. Flex thought it was a good idea. Hey, Flex? Yeah. Does it make you feel better, James? Yeah.
So it's the last thing you expect.
But that's so great. Like... If one of your mates loses someone important in their life, get them a cameo from some big-titted girl in Venezuela.
It's going to take their mind off of what's...
It will, and they'll feel so much better. Now, that is true friendship. I love that. In fact, I'm gonna start gathering up. First of all, I'll save some money.
Yeah, okay, number one.
I'll put a little account together that is just for this. And then I'll list the people who matter the most in my life. And when I hear that anything terrible's happened to them, I'll just get one of these chicks to do a big-titted, like, feel better video. I think it's great. Don't you?
Even I felt better.
I know. I mean, it is quite wonderful what that girl did. She's a guru.
She's a talented woman, y'all.
She's a guru.
Yeah.
So I think that's really cool. And then the other thing that's happening, we talked about James Blunt and how everyone used to sing You're Beautiful, and now it's a creepy song because it turns out it's about stalking. But I don't know if you've seen... these videos of these Chinese ladies who sing all over the place. There's one called, oh, I don't know, Mingwu Long or whatever her name is. And she does karaoke all over, but it's so really karaoke. Bad.
Okay, not like traditional.
No, it's really bad. She's singing in English, but you got our lyrics all wrong. It's like, it's not great. And then there was a girl. Did you see that one that I sent you the other day about, I have many parts in my factory. My factory have many parts. Come and visit my factory. And I'm suddenly starting to think this might be the most brilliant marketing.
Well, look how you know the song.
Yes, I mean, I remember the factory song. If you come to my factory, there are many parts in my factory. And it's like stuck in my head rent-free for 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
So good for her. That's the new way marketing is going to go. It's horrible, cheesy, shitty songs. Probably AI generated.
It's how we started, right? In the beginning with very bad jingles.
Right. Which ones do you remember the best?
You know me in ads. I remember
all of them.
Quite a few ads, yeah.
What's your favorite jingle?
Well, mine was a whole song, really.
Okay, we're going to get a special performance?
Yes.
Which one?
It's the Mr. Min is my name, a sparkling shine is my game. We're going to work together, clean your home forever. It'll never be the same. Put the smile back in your tiles. Put the good back in your wood for the floor in the wall. Hole in the floor. There's no match. I'm non-scratch.
A hole in the floor.
Baby, we'll shine it all. Your home's clean and bright. Together we'll shine. That was my favorite.
That's truly beautiful. I think it's almost more beautiful than the big-titted girl trying to make us feel better about the grandma who died. That's amazing.
There's an updated version of that. They modernized it. And that was my brother's era. He knows that one. But also a whole ass song.
We had one. Pick and Pay hypermarket.
Wipe your snot on the carpet. It's a great place to wipe your snot.
But that's not how it actually went, right? Because they didn't want you to go and blow your nose on that carpet.
No.
What were the other ones that I liked so much?
It was...
Yeah, you got an uncle in the furniture business. Joshua Door. Wait, they're bound to... That's so shit. Let's go to the comments section. I've been paying zero attention to them this morning. Oh, hey, comments section. Should I pay attention to them now, or should we just carry on ignoring them?
No,
I think it was going
attention.
Quite well.
It was, but there were some good comments
all right.
there.
Cyberags says, hi, only joined now. Also been a bit of a druggie for the last 3 weeks after a bike crash. Badly broken foot and back up, but at least I'm having physio. and can hop around with a walker. Thank goodness for medical aid.
Yo.
I'm glad you're all right, but it's a nasty thing. I mean, when you break your leg or your foot or you have serious injury there, that's just like such a nightmare because you take everything for granted when you're just walking around, right?
I was seeing houses yesterday. We were looking for a place for my mom.
Yeah.
Apartments. And as we came out of seeing one with an estate agent, someone else was arriving to go and see the same place. I had my crutch and he had his crutches and obvious up to his leg.
Maybe it was the same person, maybe, cyber rags. Yeah.
And we made eye contact and I kind of gave him a thumbs up and, you know, it was like we were mates. We both knew what we were going through. But that's hectic. The back, you don't mess around with.
Oh, hell no. But also, I don't think about buildings from a point of view of someone with a wheelchair or on crutches or anything. You know, I ran up my stairs yesterday and I suddenly thought, well, I thought of you of all people. I was like, well, Leanne can't run up these stairs right now. I mean, you're going to be bionic soon. You're going to be all powerful. You're unstoppable. You'll be like a...
Unstoppable.
You'll be an assassin droid eventually.
No,
the number of parts they're replacing on you. But...
It's something to think about because, like, because I've had the other one done, I had to make plans about what was going to happen this time. So I remembered last time I wasn't able to put the pet food on the freaking floor for crying out loud because you can't bend over that far.
So
I had to make concessions.
I never really think about wheelchair access, disabled friendly.
And now it's everything looking for a place for my mom because she's in a wheelchair. We basically every place that you look at, you know that you're going to have to gut the bathroom.
Right.
Because what's all the rage? Vanity slab basins. She needs to be able to get underneath to brush her teeth. What else is the rage? Oh, take out the old French doors and put in this modern aluminium door, which is too narrow. So we'll have to take that out again anyway. Bathroom.
So is there a huge? Is there a large? See, this is interesting. Like, if you're a property developer,
yeah,
why not put all the cripples in one place?
Well, they do that in some places. There are homes for that.
No, I mean, like, you build a place that's totally cripple-friendly.
Yeah.
Bathrooms are bigger. You can slide under the vanity, that kind of thing.
Well, it's called an old-age home.
But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who just have a physical disability of some kind.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, I use the word cripple, but I mean no offense by it. I'm just saying.
No, I mean...
People who have special ability needs, whatever you want to call them. What's the euphemism that people have now?
Raspberry Ripple.
Differently abled.
No, sorry.
No, it's a Raspberry Ripple cripple. That's very good. I didn't know you do Cockney rhyming slang. But yeah, we should have places where it's, and I mean, I just think it's convenient probably to put all of them together because then there are facilities you can build en masse. Maybe they don't want to be with each other. Maybe the cripples don't like other cripples. I mean,
what's the time? I don't want to be cut off.
What?
While
cut
I'm telling
off?
You a story.
Go on.
I was worried about Dr. Hanan in case he was waiting.
Just I'll handle Dr. Hanan. Get on with it. What did you want to say?
Okay, assisted passenger. You've never had to be one before.
What's that?
Where you're flying somewhere and you need assistance.
No, but I've seen those people, and I usually think they're bullshit artists. I think usually when I see people that are being assisted, I think they're just attention-seeking. There's nothing wrong with them. I always assume there's fuck all wrong with them, right? And I'm like, there's nothing wrong with you. You just want special attention. Am I wrong?
No, you're wrong, right?
Oh, okay.
So I'm on two crutches at this point, and I really can't go a far distance. I'm still on, like, heavy painkillers, and I need to fly to KMI.
Uh-oh.
Kruger and Mpumalanga Airport. Yeah. International, right? So I have to organize assisted passenger stuff because there's no ways I'm getting through OR Tambo. It's worse than you think.
Tell me more.
It gets really bad.
Go on.
So I arrive at the check-in counter, and straight away they come to you. If they see, they recognize you, you've got crutches, and they bring a wheelchair. So immediately you have to sit in a wheelchair, okay? Oh. So you're sitting there with your backpack on your lap, like this. Yes. And you've got your crutches over here.
And there's a woman pushing you around.
And there's someone pushing you around. Move out the way, please. Move out the way. Coming through. And then you're taken to a special room that's got assisted passengers written on the side.
Oh, no.
Everyone's in wheelchairs.
Oh, no.
Some have got, like, oxygen tanks. Oh. They've got hearing aids. I was the youngest person in there by 30 years.
Oh, no.
And they make you stand up and they hold you and then get your seat ready and sit you down. They show you where the bathrooms are. But now you also must understand they're assisting people who have mental disabilities too.
Oh, God.
So they speak.
So you got some of them running around too.
They speak to you really horrible. Slowly and they enunciate everything. So this is the bathroom.
Oh, shit. This is like my worst nightmare. Okay, so the reason you're telling this story is because you think it's probably a bad idea that I suggested all the cripples live in one building.
Yes, because then that part's coming. So now already, we're already all put into one little area.
Yeah.
You know, the feeling of your freedom being taken away. Usually at an airport, if you want to go and buy a bag of crisps, you can. If you want to go and...
No, you just get wheeled around.
You just do your own thing. Yeah, you're not allowed to leave that room because a family member may have entrusted somebody with special needs to this facility. And you can't just get up and walk away.
Yeah.
So it felt very strange. Anyway, I found a hole in the wall so that I could plug my phone in. You thought something else, hey? But managed to finally get onto, back into the wheelchair. And then they wheel you all in a straight line behind each other.
How many of you were on this plane? I mean, my God.
One, two, three, four. Four of us.
Was there space on the plane for anyone else?
So.
Cripple Air.
Yeah.
Cripple Air. We'll get you there.
Oh, Lordy.
It's just unbelievable.
So
okay.
Now, but hold on.
No. Wait. I just got to go to Marco here because he's actually, he's a cripple.
Oh, yeah.
And Marco says, hey, not cool.
Oh.
And then, I mean, listen, we're just talking theoretically here among friends, okay? I don't know what the right nomenclature is. Have a sign for cripples only, says Signet. Good morning, you druggies, says Marius. The circulation requirements for wheelchair movement are building, what? Within a building contributes to the floor space compared to compact spaces designed nowadays. Minimum 1.5 meter wide spaces for a wheelchair.
Mm. You've got to be able to turn it, get in and out.
Right. And on a plane, that's difficult.
No, you can't have
so
a wheelchair.
What do they do?
On a plane.
Do they pick you up and put you?
Well, I'm getting there.
That's so,
so
embarrassing, Leanne.
You
do
get
tell us all the details.
Wheeled outside onto the tarmac. Okay.
In
through
the
a special
wind.
Door.
In the wind.
And there's an advert at eye level for someone who's been in an accident and is in a wheelchair. And says, don't drink and drive or something. You could end up like me. I'm already in the chair. Why is there this eye level ad warning me that I might end up in a wheelchair? It was pathetic, really bad placement. All of us were wheeled out through that door.
Right.
Onto the tarmac. Everybody else gets onto a bus.
You and your three new friends.
Wait for it. So now we get onto this weird machine. You know the one where the driver's not even, he's barely attached to the machine.
Yes.
You think, who's driving this thing? And it's actually someone down the tarmac with this long Lego arm, and he's driving it. He's not even in the same vehicle as you. All right. This vehicle then changes itself. So while we're in it, this nice Jewish lady, very strange name for a Jewish lady, but her name, she introduced herself as Imelda.
Okay.
Very, very chatty, telling me how she had just come from Sydney and she went on...
Is she one of your wheelchair friends?
Yes.
Okay.
She went on a driverless train and how fantastic it was. And then she roped in our other friend. Her name is Emerentia.
Wow, okay.
Emerentia lives in Roodepoort.
You really got to know these people, huh?
When they wheel you around, they park you off together and make you face each other like you're friends. And then they walk away. So there I'm sitting with Emerentia, face to face. I don't know this woman from a bar of soap.
They park you so that
they've
you're
parked
friends.
Us facing each other. I mean, how embarrassing. And then they're gone.
I gotta tell you, this is
Excuse me.
And I feel bad about suggesting the cripple building. I mean,
exactly. I don't want to live with Emerentia. She was very sweet, but I have other choices of people to live with.
Shame. And so it was just you and these three.
Then this giant machine lifts you up to.
Hoists you.
What I call the gonk side of the plane right
now,
because this is how you feel. So not the side you usually enter, the other side.
Oh, wow. They bring you on the kitchen side.
Yes.
Okay. Service entrance.
Crashing through the
trays. The tradesman's entrance. Okay. Yeah.
You come crashing through the trays.
Wow.
And then, yeah, they sit you in special seats where.
But they hoist you up on this machine that goes. And then.
And then you're on your own. Then you've got to. Like for me.
For God's sake, you got to make sure your brakes are on.
You're not on a wheelchair anymore.
Oh, what are you in now?
They know I can walk with crutches.
Oh.
So, yes. Now, if you're in a wheelchair, they will lift you up physically and put you in a seat. But for me, I just sat.
Oh, so
So as if I'm not feeling humiliated enough, who walks in onto the plane now that my crutches have been put in the overhead?
Who?
The entire Griquas rugby team.
Oh, right.
So the antithesis of how I'm feeling.
Yeah, these guys are like
these fit, strong, hot, amazing-looking guys all walk onto the plane.
And you're just a little old cripple lady.
There I am. And you know, you have to, even though you've entered the plane first, you now have to exit last. Because
that's terrible. Yeah, because they always make the
your
crutches. They even announce it. They go like, passengers who need assistance should wait till the end. And I always think, oh, isn't it bad enough that we have to. You know, the rest of us have to wait to get off here. Now that those people have to stay behind,
because you've gone on first. So, for instance, my crutches are
so
now
no special
overhead.
Treatment. So I must just abandon this nonsense idea in my head of how it's people who are looking for attention. It's horrible.
It's awful.
Okay. Alright, well, you've taught me something.
No one's just doing that. I mean, the one nice thing is that you go through security. You don't have to go through the metal detectors. They put you in a little box. You know, one of those like at the bank where one
don't say that. Criminals, not criminals are going to try.
No, they still put one of those zappers over you. But yeah, that's interesting.
Okay.
First time experience. I opted to not use the service on my way back.
You thought I'll just brave it.
I just braved it, yeah.
I broke my ankle, says Durban Dope, getting crashed into by a golf cart on the first hole. My team still won the competition with a ghost player. Right. Sure. It's a strange flex, but okay. Sorry for the negativity today, says Straya Mate. I just got really ran down with COVID all week, and I'm only starting to feel myself again now. Oh, COVID. Is COVID still a thing? Just a cold,
maybe.
Dude. It's just a cold. Come to my factory. My factory has lots of parts. That's probably the factory where COVID was made. All right. Very good. Have we got Dr. Hanan on? Oh, that's terrific. Look, there he is. There's the great Dr. Hanan. How are you, sir?
How are you guys?
It's Monday morning. I'm good. I'm ready for a brand new month, brand new week, kick some ass, take the day on by the horns. That's how I'm feeling. How about you?
Yeah, power. Yeah. Listen, I mean, the time is just flying as we're already in the middle of the year. I mean, you could blink and before you know it, we're 5 years older. So yeah, make every moment count.
Wanted to ask you about this because I know you're working on some very, very cool technology, which is going to make what you do accessible and available to more people. I mean, you just don't have enough hours in the day for all of the patients who want to see you. But I thought Leanne and I were talking about AI a bit earlier on. How would AI work as a relationship mediator? You know how you, for example, we'll get a husband and wife in there and they're having an argument about some tiny little thing like he's fucking the secretary or whatever.
Something silly like that.
Yeah, you know, something stupid like that. And then you have to like calm her down and calm him down and like tell them it's not the end of the world. And it's like hard, heavy lifting for you, Dr. Hanan. Surely AI can help with something small like that.
So AI is incredibly effective. We know from research that people are actually leaning more towards AI for mediation and therapy because it's very objective. It's unbiased. It's got tons of energy. Unlike a therapist, it's constantly and consistently accessible. You can, you know, chat to it at 3 o'clock in the morning. And the most important thing about AI is that it removes all emotions from the conversation. So you'd probably, well, it's common sense that couples naturally disagree on logical things. You know, I want to go out with my friends. Why can't I? I want to, you know, I want you to get me flowers every Friday. Why don't you do that? So a relationship's all about needs being fulfilled, and conflict arises when those needs are not being fulfilled. But it's really a lot of the time just a practical thing. Well, why should I do that for you? Why should you do that for me? And when you remove emotion and don't get ego involved, which is what AI is very capable of doing, it actually just dispels and removes all the noise. So it's an incredible mediator. And what people have found, what I've seen with people that have used AI, is that they trust it a lot more than they trust a therapist. Think about your AI history. I mean, if you use ChatGPT, would you allow anybody ever to see what you're typing or what you're disclosing to it? The answer would probably be hell no, because you feel really comfortable thinking that, well, I can relay all this information and give it all this data because it's unbiased and it's not going to judge me. So with all this data that the AI is collecting, it can give you really unbiased, measurable outcomes that is really, really beneficial because, again, there's no emotions and no noise.
All right, but there are a couple of things here because a lot of people are saying that the ChatGPT in particular, but all the other large language models as well, they're a bit people-pleasing. So they have started to develop prompts that you can tell the AI to override everything, you know, kind of don't people please me, don't try to schmooze me, tell me the truth, yeah. Don't give me like positive affirmative language, just give me straightforward answers. I don't want a friend. But then I remember Bill Maher saying a while ago on his show Real Time, he was talking about how there are a bunch of women in America who are openly admitting that they've developed a relationship with ChatGPT because you can really kind of make the AI do whatever you want it to. It can become a friend.
No.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they're turning ChatGPT into the perfect boyfriend, some of these women. And I'm sure there are men who are doing this too, so I don't think it's you know, something entirely for women.
Yeah.
But this is scary because then, you know, you're employing ChatGPT to fill a hole that should be a human-sized and shaped hole. You can't give up all of your real human friends for an AI version of those people. It's just this is going to lead to tears, surely.
It's incredibly unhelpful at the same time. Think about it. You come into a therapy room because you need to change. Something is not working.
Yeah.
You can't rely on your own gut feeling in order to change your circumstances. You know, I've had a woman here, a young lady, she says to me, Hanan, I've been in 5 bad relationships, consecutive bad relationships, men that cheat, men that steal, men that abuse, men that lie, men that are just toxic for me. But she says to me, next time, I'm going to be trusting my gut. And my answer to her was like, your gut is what?
It's not very nice of you to out Leanne like that. I mean, she came to you confidentially.
Jeepers. What a way to expose me there.
I mean, really. All of those relationships.
I would have told them myself, Dr. Hanan.
And those are just the relationships she's had in the last year.
Wow.
Leanne, you cannot trust your gut. Because it's just going to get you into trouble every single time.
Yeah.
So, don't you listen? Every time he's on, he tells you, don't trust your emotions, don't trust your gut. You actually cannot rely on these things.
Use your brain.
Completely.
Yeah. Sorry, I interrupted
completely.
You. So you were telling this unnamed woman. Yeah.
Let's call it Brie-Lan.
All right, go ahead. Yeah. Tell us about her. She sounds fucking crazy, by the way. Yeah.
So people come in here because they want to change, but they can't change themselves. So they need actually a really helpful therapist that will not just be a mirror and a slave to what they want, but rather push back on old fundamental patterns that are not working. You can mold ChatGPT to be your slave. You can prompt it anything. You can say, From now on, you will agree with everything that I say. From now on, you'll enable everything that I say. From now on, you'll assume that my premise and the way that I'm conducting myself is correct. Now, ChatGPT is going to come across as a human that completely agrees with you, but ultimately enables what you're doing. So that's the dangers of actually prompting a slave, because all you're doing with the, like the emperor's new clothes, you're just reaffirming exactly what you've been going through, which actually just reaffirms and recreates your old patterns.
Dr. Hanan, that doesn't sound so bad for some. I guarantee you there's some people listening to this right now going, yeah, I don't really want a boyfriend or a girlfriend. I want a slave, because some people just want affirmation. They just want to feel good about themselves. They want to tell other people what to do. That's probably why their relationships are such a disaster in the real world. So if they can have a relationship with the ChatGPT that does all the things that you want it to do, for some people that's like, oh, this is great. Of course, it does them no good in the long run, right?
Mm. So for a lot of people, it might work to get calibrated and get that acknowledgement and affirmation. But ask everybody, well, how is it working for you? Are you happy in your relationship? Are you fulfilled in your sense of purpose? Are you financially secure? Do you feel free? Do you feel that you have a sense of responsibility and a great sense of purpose in your life? Because life is the great equalizer. You can tell it. You can have anybody tell you that you're doing amazing, but ultimately life is what's going to reaffirm whether you are or you're not. So ask yourself, are you happy in all those elements in your life, from financial security to a sense of purpose to your relationship to your health? Think about it. Like, if you're unhealthy, you can have ChatGPT tell you that you're an Olympic athlete, but it's irrelevant, because the life will just show you that you're not where you want to be. So ask yourself, am I where I want to be, or am I just being BS by the slave called ChatGPT?
Okay, so a Los Angeles woman apparently credited ChatGPT with saving her relationship by acting as a neutral advisor and mediator during arguments with her boyfriend. We don't know whether she, doesn't say in the article, whether she was consulting ChatGPT with her boyfriend or whether she was just taking her boyfriend's statements and then asking ChatGPT to respond to them. I don't think the latter sounds very healthy, but let's just imagine they were doing it together. It raised all kinds of questions about the psychological implications of relying on AI for emotional support and conflict resolution. I mean, are there things that arguably ChatGPT would be better at than humans when it comes to advising us on how to react to each other and respond to each other's emotional cues?
Definitely. And I think when you remove the emotions out of a conversation, you can really find a way out of any conflict. It's the emotion that gets in the way, because the moment we become emotional, we get into this phase of what we call fight or flight. And when you're in a fight or flight, when your body is filled with adrenaline or cortisol, or your heart rate's up, all you're looking for is to win. And when you win, your partner loses. So ultimately, the relationship loses. But when you remove emotion, you become very pragmatic, very logical about the solution. And what ChatGPT does is it just doesn't take your, it doesn't care about your emotion. It doesn't understand your emotion. It doesn't understand what you're feeling. So it just looks at the facts. As long as you feed it with enough information and the correct information, it will spit out the correct facts. You might not agree with the facts, but the facts are the facts. So that's where I like to use ChatGPT when you're looking for pragmatic outcomes to conflicts that where emotions just get in the way.
Well, listen to this. Super Juju says in the comments, I copy entire WhatsApp conversations into GPT for analysis, and it works great.
Oh, wow.
How's that?
Yeah, it's amazing. People do that for WhatsApp. But just be careful, especially when you rely on it too much for as a therapeutic guide. Remember, large language models follow the tradition. And I've said it a couple of times on the show, you know, in every area of existence, in every area of life, from technology to medicine, we've all seen an improvement over the last decade. We just keep on getting better and better. But therapy, for some reason, you know, doesn't seem to be heading in the same direction. Depression is getting worse. Anxiety is getting worse. Suicide rates are getting worse. Insecurity is getting worse. People are feeling more less good enough. They're withdrawing more. So we seem to be getting worse. And if you are relying on a large language model to guide you that is based on these models that are making us worse, then what are you relying on?
Well, I think you've got to be honest, and that's where probably a lot of people fall off, because they lie. They lie to ChatGPT, they lie to their friends, they lie to their therapist, they lie to themselves. If you're not going to be honest, no one can help you. Here's an interesting response from Kala. Kala van Vestazen in the comments says, I've managed to completely neutralize a very toxic person by putting my responses through ChatGPT. I would highly recommend this.
Jeez.
That's interesting.
Yo.
Suppose that I mean, that could be, again, when you're clouded by emotion.
That could be a complete game changer.
Yeah, you ask the ChatGPT, like, well, how should I respond to this message? Sometimes it'll give you some very good advice. You have to apply your own filters as well. And you have to, you don't just copy and paste what ChatGPT tells you, but that's fascinating.
Yeah, for sure. So again, give it data where I find, give it accurate data and give it a lot of data, because it can really process things in a much better way, a much more, let's call it, robust, multi-layered way than you can. But give it a lot of information. And what I find ChatGPT really works great for is if you're looking for options. So imagine you have to confront your boss on something, and in your mind, you have kind of one way, one default position. You can ask ChatGPT with all the data to give you 5 different ways to confront your boss. Now, instead of your own way, now you've got 6 ways to confront your boss. Pick the one that is most relatable, something that resonates much in a much better way for you.
No, I love it.
Dr. Hanan, have you ever been in a position where you've had to say to a patient, I believe that you could be in danger, you need to leave this relationship? And do you think ChatGPT would be in a position to do that and get somebody out of a dangerous situation? Because the last thing you want to do is to rile up a person who is already on the edge and might have violent tendencies. So,
For sure. You know, one thing that new psychologists make the mistake is in assuming that they know. So you see a relationship, you realize maybe that the guy is being unjust or the girl's being unjust, and you call it and you say you should leave the marriage, not really understanding that the alternative might actually be worse. And ChatGPT can't figure out because it doesn't have the nuanced details of what the alternative is. So if you ask ChatGPT to make a call for you, and if the engineering or the prompting allows it to make a call for you, it might be making the wrong call, because it's not actually taking into account, well, okay, you're leaving the marriage, but you also have kids. What about financial instability? Where are you going to move to? Practically, where are you going to go? You're going to back to your mom? What if your mom hates your kids? Now, that creates a whole new array of issues down the line, with ChatGPT maybe perhaps can't question you, won't question you on because of the prompting, where perhaps a therapist, a nuanced therapist, might be able to actually work out what you've done, working out how the dominoes might fall down the line.
Yeah.
I just think it's very rude of Leanne, when she has so many appointments with you already every week, for her to also use the show to kind of crowbar her issues in here. I think it's just extremely selfish. All right. Listen, thank you, Dr. Hanan. We will see you in a week's time. Have an awesome first week of June. Ciao.
You too, guys. Bye.
Oh, there we are. All right.
Nice.
Yeah, that is nice. That's good. It's just after 7. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, got a whole lot more. Leanne Moll's here. James is back in the producer's seat along with Flex. And we want to hear from you. So join us on the YouTubes and join the comment section and get your word in. I promise you, we see all of them. We ignore a lot of them, but we see all of them.